Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now, Craig, I feel like we should talk about the inflation data that came out today. The CPI number came in at 7.5%, and that was on the upper end, let's say, of the target ranges that were estimated, anywhere from 7% up to 7.6%. And the one thing I think that is the real takeaway is that inflation continues to stay elevated and actually still has a bit of an upward trend, even after, myself included, a lot of people thought that inflation would be tapering off. Now, we still read all these articles about expectations for inflation, is that inflation is topping and will start coming down. Either way, we're at 7.5% inflation. Multiple decades we haven't seen this high of inflation. Let's tie this to gold because, look, gold isn't really moving off of higher inflation. This whole year, or well, I guess last year, when we kept seeing higher inflation, gold has just kind of hung around 1800. And I realize gold is supposed to be kind of a boring protection market, but that whole narrative of higher inflation should be driving metals, precious metals higher, especially with interest rates, even though they have ticked up, still in negative territory for real interest rates. Craig, why do you think gold just isn't getting a buy on this larger inflation data?
Well, let's just give it a little extra, a little more time, Corey. You're right. You would think on the surface it's just inflation, but even that's been disproven over time. It's not inflation itself. It's inflation versus nominal interest rates and real interest rates and interest rate expectations and inflation expectations. Gold is doing just fine. Sure, it should be soaring. Yeah, it'd be nice to have it be soaring today. But you know, the yield on the two-year note is now up to 1.55% U.S. two-year note. It was 30 basis points not even 6 months ago in September. Okay, the 10-year note is now over 2. It was 1.25 back in October. Okay, so the fact that gold is hanging in there when nominal rates are rising as fast as they are is a very good sign. And I wrote about that in my column that I posted, It's Brought Money, every week. You know, the last time, three times really, that we've had aggressive rate hiking, you can start back into the 1970s, which is analogous to today, where inflation was soaring and the Fed was desperately trying to keep up by raising interest rates, but negative rates prevailed. And everybody knows what happened to the metals back then. But even as recently in this century, I mean, the Fed embarked on a rate hiking scheme from 2004 to 2007. They hiked 17 times, 17 quarters in a row, and gold rallied from $400 to $700. The last time they started hiking rates at the end of 2015 through the end of really late 18 into the middle part of 19, again, gold rallied $300. So we're in a period now where gold's going to be rallying again and probably considerably more than $300, especially on a percentage basis. But I'm not too concerned about the fact that it's up or not up today. Gold tends to instead perform, come into favor as the curtain gets pulled back and the central bankers are revealed to being powerless in terms of stopping QE and that sort of thing. That's where we're at again now. I mean, they're talking about raising rates and they're going to have to. I mean, you've got the Fed funds overnight rate at 0 and that two-year note I mentioned at 155 basis points. So they're going to have to raise Fed funds and do it pretty quick. But they got a lot of balls in the air with trying to keep the stock market up and everything else. And I'm just not in the camp that, you know, thinks inflation is going to come plummeting. We see it. The copper is soaring again today. It was up 3% yesterday. It's up another 1% today. All the base metals are going. Foodstuffs, the grains, any other source of protein, everything is still going higher. And that's all part of the conundrum that the Fed faces. So, yeah, has it been a challenging year? Do you think gold, you know, yeah, we should have gone higher based on how all those base metals are doing? Sure. But it's now also probably the time where the precious metals begin to play catch up.
Well, Craig, you set the table nicely there because a lot of the general markets would assume with rates going up, whether it's the two-year or the 10-year, that that should be a pressure on gold. So just the fact that it's holding up before the rate hikes start, I think, is somewhat encouraging. But I guess my question is, do you think that the Fed or that the general markets are going to wake up to they are so far behind the curve this time and the yield curve is so flat, there's only a 50-point spread between the 1.55 and the 205 on the between the 2-year and the 10-year, it's never been that flat when they've started a rate hike cycle before, and they've never been this far behind inflation with the 7.5% CPI reading. So is there a point where people realize, hey, even if you guys did a 0.5% hike, or even if you did 4 1% hikes, you guys are so far behind inflation, I don't know how you're going to catch up. And as we've discussed many times, the policy effects take 6 months to 12 months to even show up. So is there going to be a grilling from the general markets when they realize the Fed has kind of lost control here?
Well, and Chad, that's I think you're absolutely right. It's analogous, again, as I said, to the 70s. And I have said on my site and in talking to you guys since the summer of 2020, the ultimate end of the COVID crisis and the central bank response to it is stagflation. And that's exactly where we're headed, again, just like the 1970s. And what we will eventually get, because the U.S. economy, corporate, private debt, state debt, everything cannot afford higher long-term interest rates. The Fed can try to do things on the short end. And obviously, like I said, the 2-year note's up to 155 as we speak. But eventually what the market then looks at on the long end is what everybody's referring to as a policy error. And they start buying the long end. And the Fed actually, if that doesn't work, actually moves toward a policy of yield curve control, where they say we can't allow this to go above, say, the 3% that the 10-year note went to back in November of 2018 that led to a 20% stock market crash. So we're getting to the point where short rates will continue to go up, but long rates won't. And again, already today, what the 2-year note's up 21 basis points. The 10-year note is up half that at 10. So that's 11 basis points that it's flattened just today between the 2s and the 10s. So we're heading into a spot where the yield curve is going to invert, and that is going to be leading toward an even deeper slowdown. I think we talked last week about the Atlanta Fed already is only projecting about 0.5% for GDP growth in the first quarter. The Fed's got a real mess on their hands, and they've got to keep the plate spinning. I mean, if that means gold gets sacrificed and is allowed to go higher and trades higher because everybody sees what's going on here, then so be it. They got bigger fish to fry, and they've got a real problem on their hands. Because inflation, even if it slows, guys, later this year, let's say, you know, some of the guys on CNBC are right. Oh, yeah, inflation is going to slow back down to 4%. Okay. It's not like you reset back to where prices were 2 years ago and go up 4% now. I mean, all these price hikes are already included. And again, anybody that thinks that inflation is actually only 7% is crazy. I mean, you just run down the list from, you know, rent to home prices to all the foods. I mean, and I just go down the list and everything's at double digits, right? So what comes next then is a demand for higher wages. I mean, look at the last employment report was all about, you know, all the job openings and how strong the job market is. Well, the employees are going to be demanding more wages. Biden just proposed a couple of days ago, giving all federal employees about a 5% raise. Now we're into that wage price spiral part of it all. So anyway, this is a mess. And I, you know, all I can say to everybody on you guys' show, I know it's been a frustrating year and a half for precious metals. The next year and a half is not going to be quite so frustrating. Let's just leave it at that.
So, Craig, it sounds like we're just waiting for a market crash then, for the market or investors to wake up. Because in all fairness, look, we've had higher inflation sticking around for a while and the markets haven't crashed. And the Fed is telling us that they're going to be tightening and now raising rates. So the market, you could argue, is starting to price that in. That's why we're seeing this volatility. But I do feel like we've just heard these arguments before about the system can't withstand it and investors will wake up and then gold will run. We've heard that for a while in this environment where the data remains the same.
Well, Corey, I don't know. I mean, you talk about gold going sideways. Yeah, I guess you can look back to where price was, you know, in 2011, all that kind of stuff. But it's the sentiment and the flows into the pricing scheme, which is primarily driven through the futures and demand for the futures contracts, that then ultimately moves price. And again, the last couple of times that the Fed has been revealed to be full of crap, you know, there's no turning back once they started down the path of QE in 2009. everybody just kind of goes along and chases stock market returns and everything else, and gold just kind of lollygags a lot of the time. But when it gets revealed, oh, wait a second, they are kind of full of crap. Huh. Oh, yeah, yeah, they are trapped. Then all of a sudden you get a surge of sentiment and a surge of funds into a very small sector, and you get dramatic moves. You know, the most recent one, if you want, is at that last Powell pivot in late 2018. I mean, what was gold then? 1,250, maybe? You know, and by the time we got to a peak and COVID, you know, obviously had an impact on all that. What was gold? 2,100? I mean, that's a pretty stout move. And I don't know if we're on the verge of another 50% move in gold. A lot of people out there talking about numbers like that over the next year or two. Let's just leave it at this. There are people I see on Twitter that are still deflationists. You know, they talk about gold going to 900 and all this other. It's just malarkey. Prices are going to be going higher as this all gets revealed and understood. Not straight up. You know, even on a day like today, you know, gold goes up, then it goes straight down, then it goes up. Then they roll out Goon Bullard to talk about, you know, 5 rate hikes or something in the next 5 days or whatever he said, and gold goes straight back down. It's never going to be, you know, some kind of straight up that everybody wants because we're all conditioned to watching the stock market and stuff like that. But I just have a sneaky feeling that, again, the next 18 months are going to be better than the last 18 months.
Well, Craig, just as we look at this year, let's just say the next 10 months, do you think that we're going to get to the point this year, or will it take till next year where there is that breaking point, that checkmate moment where they either have to do a yield curve control or they have to admit, hey, we really can't hike it much past here? And is that going to be the event that the market anticipates that does get the precious metals moving?
Yes. When it's finally noticed, and I've written about this now for a year and a half, when it's finally noticed that the Fed has to implement yield curve control, and you think, what, how, what? Well, again, because the U.S. economy cannot withstand higher long-term interest rates. It just can't. There's too much debt, and servicing that debt and refunding that debt and all that. They just can't. Now they can, you know, short rates, try to control inflation, cost of money, all that kind of stuff. That's what the Fed's going to be trying to do. But they're eventually long-term rates are capped and controlled. And, you know, if it gets so crazy, then the yield curve inverts and all that kind of stuff. This was all, I'm going to go back in history real quick here as we wrap this up. Back in the summer of 2020, okay? And you got to really, I mean, this seems, it wasn't that long ago, but it seems like a long time ago. The Fed announced a major policy change that they were going to start averaging inflation, okay? They weren't just going to took, you know, as soon as inflation goes over 2%, we're going to start hiking. No, it was going to be average inflation had to get over just 2%. That gave them more time that they could keep rates at zero. Okay. Cause they were so, Powell himself at Jackson Hole talked about how worried he was that deflation expectations were going to take hold. And you're going to get in this vicious cycle of deflation and deflationary expectations. So before, about a month before Jackson Hole, Bloomberg writes an article. It was a trial balloon, came out on Friday afternoon, said, okay, here's what they're going to do. They're going to do this averaging of inflation. And then the second leg of that plan is yield curve control, because the only way you can manage debt long term is to keep real rates negative, inflate your way out of the debt. Okay. The Fed had done this before coming out of World War II. It was a policy that they had implemented from 1945 to like 1953. There's history on this. They're still writing research papers on this. This is the way they're going. Everybody had forgotten about that yield curve control part. That will be what is put in place over the next, I don't know, 12 months, whatever. But boy, when that is finally known and you enshrine negative real interest rates, that's when it's really going to be an all clear. But price will already be a lot higher by then. But that's where this is headed. It's been plain since Bloomberg and basically Powell told you this at Jackson Hole a year and a half ago. And it's where we still are today. Again, the hard part is, and you guys know this, everybody listening to us knows this. If you're a precious metals investor, it's like dog years. Every year that goes by, you age 9 years. Right? Because it's just so aggravating, because you see all the fundamentals. Either, why isn't gold going higher? Well, it's a complicated animal the way gold is priced. Again, at this time, though, I just can't emphasize enough. Next 18 months aren't going to be the last eight. In fact, you could even say the next 3 or 4 months aren't going to be like the next last 3 or 4 months. We're heading into a very volatile period, but in generally moving higher.
Well, Craig, I hope for the sake of the gold bugs portfolios that you are right, that that wake up finally does happen. I understand the points you're laying out, and it does all make sense. The problem is these markets can sure remain irrational for quite a while. And look, the interest in gold just is not there. So that can all change quickly, but who knows if it's going to be this year or next year or whenever. But we'll keep following along because, hey, it gives us something to talk about. Plus, it is very interesting to see how these markets are digesting all of this news and how the Fed's going to handle it throughout this year. Craig, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week.
All right, my friend.